Welcome to the Morning Upgrade Podcast with Ryan Cote, where we feature casual conversations with entrepreneurs about personal development and growth.
Hey, Dave, welcome to the Morning Upgrade Podcast. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Ryan. It's great to be here, man.
Yeah, I'm excited to keep this conversation going. We've been chatting for like 20 minutes now, and so I'm excited for what the next 15 holds for us. So let's get it started. Why don't you tell my audience of Morning Upgraders who you are, what you do for a living, and then give us something that you're grateful for right now.
Wow, great questions. Thank you. Those are awesome. Wow, who's Dave Albin? Well, Dave Albin's a guy that came down a very painful path, was grossly addicted to drugs and alcohol at one point, and almost put a bullet in his head. And instead, I called AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and that led me to sobriety, which I'm coming up on 35 years this year, continuous, right, with AA. And that also led me into the personal development industry, where I met Tony Robbins, and I ended up working for Tony for almost 20 years. I traveled with him on the road, not only in his production, as a major player on his production team, but I was also, because I had a military and a security background, I also helped take care of a lot of his celebrities. But what I was probably, you know, brought into the organization to do was his fire walks. And so I was his fire captain. And just basically what that meant, Ryan, is that anytime we'd go somewhere in the world where we would do a fire walk, I would come in, bring my team, we'd set everything up, we'd do all the training. Tony'd bring out 8,000 people, we'd firewalk them, we'd clean it up, and we'd go to the next location. So back in 2014, after a long run with him, Google called me and wanted me to come do a gig for them. And that's when Firewalk Productions was born. And we've been going at it, creating some of the most powerful paradigm shift, life-changing experiences that are available.
Hmm. And what about what you're grateful for?
What am I grateful for? Geez, I mean, everything. My life has been nothing but a big giant gift. I think right now specifically is that my daughter is pregnant with my granddaughter, and Charlotte Ray is her name. She'll be here any minute. I mean, I could get a phone call here in 5 minutes or probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, but you know, anytime. So right now, to be candid with you, Ryan, I am absolutely out of my mind, over the top. It's even hard for me to say without busting out in tears. But knowing this little girl, my granddaughter's coming, is just beyond belief. I've got gratitude. I'm having emotional floods like you would not believe. I got gratitude coming out of my ears right now.
Yeah. You're making me tear up. That's great. Congratulations. So we've never, 130-something episodes, we never talked about firewalking. So can you just give us a quick overview for my audience listening, like what it is? I know what it is. People walk over coals, but why do it? I know it's pushing out of your comfort zone, but can you just give us a quick overview of what that is and why?
Sure. I mean, if we look at the premise that, you know, what doesn't challenge us doesn't change us, and the fears we don't overcome become our limits. And we know this, you know, we can learn that throughout the entire personal development industry. It's there. It's even biblical, right? So it's there. Tony Robbins, you know, he's used firewalking as part of his 4-day event, UPW, and he does it on day one, and he gets these people to walk on fire. And that's what happened to me, right? I went to an event of his. I walked on fire the first night, and it was the most transformational moment that I can remember in my entire life. Now, here's where it got interesting for me, and that's the next day. I saw 3,000 people, 3,500 people come together, standing in the foyer, getting ready to go back into the main room that morning, and I'd never seen or witnessed anything like it. I mean, I'm talking human connection at a level that you can't even imagine. Because people, you know, Ryan, they were laughing, they were crying, they were talking, they were hugging, they were associating this incredible experience the night before and how it influenced them, and then it literally raised their frequencies. And again, I've been around a long time, you know, I'm going to be 69 this year, and I've never been anywhere and attended anything that was like that next morning. It was just, it was awesome. It was just wonderful to be there and be part of that. Now, if we go back a few hundred years and we take a much deeper look into firewalking, oh my gosh. I mean, it's been used as a rite of passage, spiritual ceremony, graduation for years. And you can find it. It's all over. Go look at the Fahitians, the people of India. the Polynesians, the Hawaiians, the Indo-Europeans, the Native American Indians. It's all around us. It's just that here in the West, we've really never used it like it's being used in other cultures, right? Like the Indo-Europeans, for example, those are warriors. So before they went to battle, which is a lot of other cultures that did this as well, they used the firewalk to get prepared mentally the night before. And then the men went off to battle after they did the firewalk. And if a man didn't do the firewalk, they weren't allowed to go to battle, which was a way, to, you know, they dishonored themselves and their family by not doing it. On my website, man, I got some cool pictures of people doing it, but outside of the West, right? Yeah, I've got lots of Tony Robbins pictures and my pictures from my own business and that kind of thing. But there's a couple in there that will blow your mind. There's a mother and she's carrying three newborns. What they do is in India, they dig a pit. And it's kind of concave, and it, in the middle, it's probably, you know, a foot and a half high. And where we do the firewalk, we just take coals and we lay them with a shovel on grass, right? We build a big fire. It burns all day. At the end of the night, it renders. We load the coals either onto the lanes from that pit, or we, if it's a big firewalk, we load the coals in wheelbarrows. And then again, we just take a flathead shovel. We lay it out a lane of sod, grass, 3 feet wide, 18 feet long, and we lay the coals on top of that grass, and that's what you walk on. Well, what I'm talking about here in India for this woman was it was a pit. So she was probably, the coals were at least 2 to 3 inches thick, and she's carrying two newborns. And if you look around the pit, she's surrounded by friends and family, and they're all wearing these beautiful silk garments, and they're vibrant in colors. And she's in there. If you look up the picture on my website, you'll see that she's got something in her mouth. I think it might be a flower. I'm not 100%, but she's got three newborns. I mean, literally three of them. And she's in that pit, man. She's got nowhere to go.
That's crazy.
I would think that pit's probably 30 feet, 25 to 30 feet long. So she's got to walk at least 25 to 30 feet down through that pit and up the other side.
I know this is such a basic question, but does it hurt?
I've firewalked somewhere in the area of 500,000 people. And people ask me, so are the coals hot? Yes, they're 1,000 degrees. Can you get burnt? Of course you can. Welcome to life. Now, here's the thing. When you put yourself in a powerful state and a powerful mindset, you can walk across them all day long and you won't get burnt.
Wow.
So about 10% of the people that firewalk get a little kiss on their foot.
Yeah.
They get a minor blister. And again, all the years I've doing this, Tony and I have walked hundreds of thousands of people, even since I've been on my own since 2014, we've never had anybody hospitalized. No one's ever sued us. Here's what's interesting. If your kids play soccer, I got news for you. They've got 10 times more risk playing soccer or sports of getting hurt than coming to one of my firewalks. It's like going to the beach, right? Almost every family knows. How many families have taken their family to the beach or to a lake and gotten them sunburned, right?
That's true. Yeah,
right? And then they do it the next day. They do it again, right?
Yeah,
So that's 100 times more dangerous than any firewalk they'll ever do with me. But it's a great question.
Excellent. New topic here on the Morning Upgrade podcast. So it's really fascinating. We'll definitely link up your website in the show notes so people can watch those videos and look at the photos. All right, Dave, let's talk about your morning routine. How do you start your mornings?
The first thing I do is I hydrate. Water is one of the most important things that we put in our bodies, and yet we just don't pay enough attention to it. And so I'm really into water. I live in the Appalachian Mountains. I live at 3,500 feet above sea level in the northwestern part of the state of North Carolina in the Appalachian Mountains. And so I've got mountain spring water coming into my home. That's what I drink every day. So my routine in the morning is I don't negotiate. When I get up, I get up. Period. I don't play this snooze button nonsense. No, I don't negotiate with myself. And I teach this. Stop negotiating with yourself. If you say you're going to get up and do something, do it. And so I get up. And again, the first thing I do is I will drink. I'm into ginger, turmeric, and lemon. And sometimes I'll boil it the night before and get it ready. And I do that about every other day. I'll drink that as well. I do not touch my cell phone. And the first thing I do after hydrating myself is I begin my meditation. With my meditation, I also include in there sound therapy. There's frequencies of the universe. I'm really into 528 right now. It just happens to be the frequency that I'm dialed into. And then after that, then I read at least 10 pages in a good book. And I'm, you know, and I've got a lot of great books. And so at least 10 pages. And then from there, the day begins.
What are you reading right now?
I'm reading Money Grows on Trees by Jeremy Newsom. So Money Grows on Trees. And so basically what Jeremy has done is he's honed in on all the limiting beliefs and all the nonsense we're told growing up about money. Money doesn't grow on trees. You want to bet? Go look at an avocado tree. Look at an apple tree. I live in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, right? And I live in a place called Ashe County. And we grow more Christmas trees here, Ryan, than anywhere else in the world. So we know money grows on trees because that's our industry up here, right? But you know, the other ones that we get told, I'm not made out of money. Money's the root of all evil. Money's bad. So, you know, reframing all that where you love money, you trust money, and you look at money as to what you can do with it, even biblically, right? How do you feed widows and orphans without money? Well, you don't. So his book is really about reprogramming people's brain based on all the lies and you know, false statements about money. It's a great book, man.
Not to go on a rant, but it sounds like that's something they should teach in schools, like middle school, high school, that kind of stuff.
Oh, geez, don't even get me started. This is why I homeschool. It's why I homeschool. They don't teach you how to become an entrepreneur. They don't teach you how to invest. They don't know how to teach you how to save. They don't teach you what a mortgage is. They don't teach you how to fill out a credit app. They don't even teach you how to balance a checkbook in some cases. Now, I know some schools may, but they don't go into any of that. I wonder why. I don't want to cloud your show up with that because we could talk about that for a week. I'm just saying, yeah, I taught my kids differently. In fact, one of the first books I had my son read when he got to a certain reading level was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yep. Great book. I'm trying to get my daughters to read certain books as well, like personal development, personal growth books, even fables that are a little easier for them to digest.
Sure.
I think it's important. They're not going to pick the book up themselves, of course. I think it's important trying to guide their attention towards content that will help them.
Yeah. And you're right. Eventually, you know, depends on how they process too. We're creatures that process information either visually, auditorially, or kinesthetically. So it's important to know how our kids process. I spend a lot of time in high auditory, low visual. So you can tell by people's language patterns how they process. Like, you know, oh, hey, I hear you. Yeah, that sure. Oh, that sounds great to me. You know, so they'll let you know how they process information. So you start talking in their language. I just don't see that happening, right? So they're visual. So anyway, it's just kind of a way to tell with your friends and family how they process information. Sometimes audiobooks help out as well.
I want to pull something from your morning routine that you said, because I don't think we've spoken about that yet. It definitely, yeah, I don't think we've spoken about that yet on the show. Sound therapy. So is that a frequency that a sound that's playing at a certain frequency that's in the background while you meditate?
Yeah, exactly. So basically what they do is they tune everything using different types of instruments to influence. And so, again, if you look at these frequencies, there's a book called Project 369. And I won't go into the book here because it's way, way, way too deep. But in the book, they actually talk about the frequencies and the different ones and what they'll do for you to build confidence, to build stability, to help deal with past, anything in your past, to reboot your DNA. And so it's in the book. And so you can go to Spotify and download any of those frequencies. And once you get into it, and it's fun. They're beautiful to listen to. And man, do they work. It really works.
Excellent. I'm going to try that, feed that into my morning routine. I meditate too. So it's the perfect,
it is,
have that playing while you meditate.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about habits, Dave. You got so much energy, so much passion. What are your self-care habits? How do you feed that? What does that look like for you?
You know, obviously, I mentioned earlier how important water is. Water is everything. I try to drink at least close to a gallon a day. And then, you know, obviously food's really important. And when it comes to food, though, I kind of yin and yang. I jokingly say sometimes when I'm out and I'm eating something, people are looking at me like, wow, Dave, I never thought you'd eat something like that. I'm going, well, I got to get my pancreas something to do. I'm really into that. I love live foods. I eat a lot of organic, eat a lot of whole foods. I do a shake every morning. My shake's got bananas and blueberries and strawberries and pomegranate juice and coconut water. And then sometimes I'll put some other things in it. And then there's a company that makes a nutritional shake, and I love them. I've been using their product since 2015, and I drink one every single morning. That's my regimen. When I'm on the road, they come in packets, so I take shakers, and I can take good water and shake it up. I like to do them here because I can put them in my NutriBullet and mix it all up. So food's important. Exercise is important. Grounding's important. I try to take my shoes off every day and stick it on the, you know, on the planet, either on grass, on dirt, or where I really like to go is I've got a creek not too far from me. I live also very close to the New River, but a creek's very close to me, and I can go down there and stick my feet in the mud and ground myself as well. So I'm constantly got a mindset of, you know, how can I take care of myself today and enjoy the process? Yeah, it's just like, and those have come over the years. I think peer group is very important. We become who we spend time with. And so my peer group is a lot like that. In fact, I'm rubbing off on them, being that I've been sober now. This will be my 35th year. It's rubbing off on them. They talk to me about it, you know, because they're uplifting their game. They're taking their lives to the next level, and alcohol will come up. And I'm like, look, man, you can tell yourself whatever you want, but if you research it, alcohol is poison, 100%. You can't change that. I don't care how you try to code it. I don't care how, you know, well, a guy can have a beer. I don't care what you tell yourself. Again, I don't negotiate with myself there. That's non-negotiable. Because again, if I really want to live my best life, then I want to walk my talk there. And I don't drink under any and all circumstances. I haven't had a drink since June 8th of 1988. And again, if you're going to ask me, sometimes I'll even say, "Or do you really want to know, or are you just asking?" Because I'm going to tell you the truth. And so I've got a buddy of mine that's been, he hasn't had a drink since January 1. And now he's telling me, oh my God, I had no idea how much it was doing to my body.
I don't know if he's a business owner, but has his business improved?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's an amazing guy. He figured out how to do something for people that's off the chart. Michael Lush is, and he's got a company called Replace Your University. I'm a player on his team. And I help with motivational, and we do fire walks and glass walks, and, you know, we do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, he's hired me to do. He's now showing people how they can pay off their homes in 5 to 7 years without changing their lifestyle and without spending any more money. It's like, so when I first met Michael, and, you know, I learned what he did, he hired me to come in and do an event for 12 of his senior people. And after they graduated, they took me out to dinner and said, "Hey, do you know what we do?" And I go, "Well, you know, I've read your stuff, but I don't know exactly." And next thing I know, I got enlightened. What a incredible, incredible, brilliant, very smart, yet you have to do things differently. You have to understand what the banks have done and what they're doing. And then once you get that figured out, and once you know that that's not in your best interest and you see another way, then it becomes pretty clear. But in people's defense, they don't know what they don't know.
So, Dave, I feel like we could talk for hours. I feel like we literally could talk for hours. But
yeah,
I do have one last question for you. You're in an interesting spot right now. You've had a successful career. I know you're phasing into retirement soon. You've got family, grandkids coming. And so right now, through your lens and experiences thus far, what is the meaning of life?
Really comes down to the story that you create about your life, because you're the architect. You have your finger on the on and off switch, and you have your hand on the volume control. And everything that happens in our lives, I don't care what it is, Ryan, good or bad, we create a story about it. And we either tell a good story that empowers us, or sometimes we embellish, or sometimes we just make it up so that we can act out a certain way. And being in Tony's world for so long, I was around a lot of really, really successful people at different levels. And here's what I saw, that many of them achieved at a very high level, but here's where it wasn't matched. It wasn't matched with fulfillment. They didn't feel fulfilled. They neglected their family. I speak a lot to the entrepreneurs organization, EO, and I did 5 gigs last year. And one of the things I tell them is, look, guys, I'm an entrepreneur. I get it. And here's what I want to warn you about. You're not going to wake up someday and get to the end of your life and go, oh man, I screwed up. I should have spent more time making money and less time with my family. No.
Yeah.
So what I believe is there's an art and a science to achievement and fulfillment. And my encouragement to anybody is make sure you're dialed in with both of those and your life will be spectacular. And I'll close by saying this. If you help enough people get what they want in life, you'll always get what you want in life. And I learned that in AA. AA said something to me a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. And I live by this creed. And it said, when anyone anywhere reaches out, I want the hand of AA to be there. And for that, I am responsible. So I took that to, you know, that's how we do it. And so it's turned my life into a life that's absolutely magnificent and absolutely spectacular.
Excellent. So much wisdom in these 22 minutes. I appreciate you, Dave. If someone wants to learn more about you, about firewalking, et cetera, where should we send them?
Just go to my website. You can get everything there. It's firewalkadventures.com. Again, that's firewalkadventures, all one word, .com.
Excellent. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening to the Morning Upgrade Podcast. Please subscribe and review. And don't forget to visit us at morningupgrade.com for more content.